And there's actually a connection between our plant breeding talk and the talk that just went, because one of the big pushes in plant breeding is to do more education in the plant breeding area. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're looking for in the future, what we've done so far, some of the impacts, and mostly I'll talk about research, but a little bit about education as well in this. I talked on Wednesday about stakeholder input, and I think plant breeding, the reason I'm giving this talk is really because of stakeholder input. So a number of groups came to USDA and NIFA, and they said plant breeding is getting neglected. It's important, and we need more of it. It's unsustainable. We're not training enough plant breeders. Plant breeding programs are going away. And especially, they said we needed more classical plant breeding. So that was a good example of where stakeholder input really made a difference. We have some new programs, and we've been trying to collect some data on not only the impacts, but the numbers for our programs. So stakeholder input can make a difference. And now we're hearing, well, we need more plant breeding, but we need it for drought. You know, we need it for organic crops. We need regional plant breeding. So I just wanted to show you a little bit of our portfolio. I know this looks like, I don't know, a paintball competition or something, and I'm sure you can't read it, but this is a program called PushGraph that looks at topic modeling. So it just goes through our entire research portfolio, and it tries to find areas with keywords in common. And one of the things that came out of this is each of these points would be a number of projects, and about half of the projects here are capacity. That's your Hatch Grant, the Evans Allen, that sort of thing. They used to be called non-competitive, but now they're called capacity grants. So about half of them are capacity, and about half of them are competitive. The perception was from a number of stakeholders, and I can't say it's wrong either, that in this quadrant, which was our end of the axis, which was breeding adapted cultivars, you know, just sort of getting something that works for Minnesota or Mississippi or Alabama or whatever, that was mostly being done on hatch funds. And then if you went down in this end of the axis, where we're getting germplasm, genes, sort of utilization, breeding trait selection, this was being funded by the competitive grants. There were a lot of competitive grants for Arabidopsis in some cases, you know, just genome sequencing. But there wasn't maybe enough research that was moving some of the traits and some of the work produced by our competitive grants here, some of these tools, into the actual breeding program. So that's, I think, a strategy that we're trying to pay a little more attention to, try to bring those two together and really reap the benefits of some of our investments in the germplasm and the genes and the phenotyping and all that sort of thing. So the next slide is just sort of a concept put together by one of Ed Kalekow, actually, one of our national program leaders who runs the plant breeding program. So his point here is that people have been looking at the genotypes, and they've been looking at the phenotypes, again, that axis that I was talking about, but then there's sort of a black box between the two, you know, how do you get from the genotype to the phenotype? So his point is that current breeding is based on single marker or genome marker, but we really just don't know which processes are linking them. So that's still sort of a black box. So we have tools to modify the genome, but we don't really know what should be modified. You know, how to open this black box. So, of course, we have with gene editing and synthetic biology, there are a lot of tools out there, but in a way, we're like, you know, we have all these tools, we don't necessarily know how to use them or what we should end up with. One of the new initiatives to look at that is the new phenomics initiative. There'll probably be some joint efforts with NSF, but there's also some efforts just within NIFA. Probably the best example of a project that's done both the genome and the breeding aspect is, unfortunately for this group, in wheat and barley. And this was a TCAP grant that was from 2011, when we were still giving out the really big grants, looking at focus, scale, impact, back in the Roger Beachy days. So this was a $25 million grant to groups that already, you know, received quite a bit of money through earlier things. So they were well positioned to do this work. So they did association mapping panels for stripe rust resistance, and actually, so this is the kind of impact that we would be looking for. Is they have released a variety. In fact, there was just a publication recently on wheat resistance to stripe rust. So, I mean, that's a really good example of connecting the genetics with the actual breeding and cultivar release. But it's also another one that they've released is a wheat variety with resistant starch content, sort of the dieter's pasta version, I guess, since it has fewer calories, basically. So it has nutritional benefits. Just to show you an overview of this program, again, for $25 million, NIFA got a lot of bang for its buck, in my opinion. 56 participants, 28 institutions, 21 states, including some genotyping labs, SNP development, small grain collection, databases, education. Also a lot of publications, and they also reported not just publications, but the H factor. So we would like to get this kind of data from all our grants, at least individually. They also reported on varieties and germplasm released, and that's something that would be good to have in all our impact reports. So in terms of impact, they're reporting here that in 2014, about 15% of U.S. acreage was planted in cultivars released through the TCAP program and their partners. And then another very, I think, exciting area is they did a lot of training in this, lots of graduate students. And these are the places that those graduate students got jobs. So pretty much all the students got good jobs, both nationally, both with companies, which is this group, in universities, and around the world. So, you know, this was definitely a program that had some impact. But it had some money, but in some ways, I know this sounds strange, but $25 million is not that much in terms of NIFA investments, so it was a lot. And it's continuing with a partnership with the International Wheat Yield Partnership, so at least some of those projects. That project has ended, and that's always the issue. How do you keep this good research and the database going when the grant money runs out, when you go over the cliff? But in this case, there was such a strong partnership that they are probably going to continue it. And of course, horticultural crops have also had some caps and had a lot of impacts as well. They weren't quite big. I think this one was a $5 million one, but it's released a disease-resistant pepper variety, lots of SNP markers, and SNP arrays, so again, more tools for the breeding community. They've got an e-extension group and had a number of education programs. Rosebreed, of course, is also a big one for horticultural crops, and that one just received a renewal. The renewal's from FCRI. The original money was from the NRI, and that's, again, it would be nice to have 10-year grants, but you can, if you get a grant started and have good product productivity, it's usually possible to get a renewal or go in and get a grant from another one of our programs. So again, a lot of markers developed, and a lot of selection tools. Another one that's been a good example in horticultural crops is from the Cornell Group, Michael Mazurek. He had some Novic money originally from the OREI program, so they had a good disease-resistant cucumber out of that, and also took some of that data and then went into the AFRI program for a smaller grant, but because they had the background, so they did a winter squash project here. So basically, if you're a plant breeder and looking for competitive funding from NIFA, the main areas are specialty crops research initiative, and over sort of since 2008, we've funded 32 grants, that's Tom Buick's program, for a total of $56 million. That's mostly plant breeding. There is some genomics in there. I'll show the plant breeding part in just a minute. OREI, 17 for a total of $25 million. In AFRI, new challenge areas because of that stakeholder input came in 2013 and continue. And then in food security, which Matt's running that right now, breeding and genomics of crops and livestock is in this year's RFA. And we have some smaller programs, alfalfa, potato, and canola. Just to show you, in SCRI, most of the funding has been for fruits, but vegetables, a lot of vegetable breeding, some not turf ornamentals. It's been pretty consistent over the years. There used to be a requirement to do 10% in plant breeding. We don't have that requirement anymore, but I'm sure it's going to continue to be a lot. Another one that they funded, which was a smaller grant, but just downy mildew in spinach. Organic programs, this is actually Matt's slide. Mostly OREI has funded a lot of plant breeding. This is a map. The Pacific Northwest has done very well from OREI, and the North Central area has also done well. Mostly on agronomic crops and vegetables, but some on fruit. So again, 2014 was a big year. AFRI, plant breeding priority area, altogether has given out $12 million, 27 awards, overall a success rate of 12%. That's 2013 and 2014, probably looking at about the same for 2015. So not a real high, but not too low. A lot of horticultural crops here. Although the focus is on classical breeding, also pre-breeding germplasm enhancement, development of tools, just a whole line of things. Looking at submissions in 2013, 125 proposals, then it was down in 2014 to 92. I think it's down again in 2015 to about 70, so our success rates. But then the good thing is our success rate for this year will probably be up to 12% again. So good news and bad news, I guess, depending on your perspective, and still a lot of student training. Some good projects funded. This was on lettuce resistance against verticillium wilt. And I bring this one up specifically because of the nice job they did in attribution. So they're referring to a particular grant year, and that it's an AFRI. So that helps us a lot to figure out where it is. We have some smaller programs, potato breeding, and I think I'm at the end of my time. 46 seconds left, so I don't know. Is there time for a question, Matt?
Yeah, I think we can take one.
Yes. Well, about a question. This is a few comments. This is, you know, I work in plant breeding, but you know, I'm also in horticulture, gardening, the whole thing. And, it's interesting to see this interest in plant breeding. To me, the answer primarily of this interest is we've had a lot of technology developed the last 100 years, and one of the advantages that something different or to make money. Genetic variation is one of those key areas that's easily identifiable. It's interesting to see wheat. There's one thing about wheat that really stands out to me, an agronomic crop, it's not our baby. But it's basically, of the big crops, the only one where private breeding and intellectual mm-hmm. property rights have not been a paramount driver in the last 10 mm-hmm. years in product development. So there's more people that want to hop in there and work together. They're not looking out here to go into the hose to see whose product is it when it comes out. There is no Monsanto, there is no Seminole or
yet.
Pioneer or any of that at the end of it. Now, Monsanto has worked with it. Everybody's worked with it. Everybody's kind of sitting out here at the edge of it. There's a lot trying to figure out how to hop in there. So product development, the we should not ever look at intellectual property rights as being an impediment to this, in my opinion. I believe everyone working in this needs to figure out how to embrace that. It's too scary to let it stop you.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point, John. And one of the, well, Matt's going to talk about the plant breeding roadmap once I give up the mic here. But one of the big questions to me as somebody that has argued for plant breeding funding is, well, isn't Monsanto, aren't all the companies doing that? The question is, what is the role of the public universities? And then it's a little clearer with horticultural crops, but even so, with horticultural crops, you have to make an argument for regional priorities. But that's a good point for the agronomic crops, certainly. You know, do we need to have a corn breeder?